podcast that sits at the intersection between politics and economics. Welcome to The Difference. I'm Dan O'Donnell, political talk show host extraordinaire. He's Dave Spano, the president and CEO of Annex Wealth Management. He handles the economics. And this week, Dave, we're talking about the GDP, gross domestic product number, for the first quarter of 2024, coming in at 1.6%, which was far lower than the 2.2% that analysts had expected.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, that is lower. And why is that? Well, there's a lot of pressure on the economy right now. And it really comes down to the fact that higher prices through inflation is taking disposable income out of the pockets of individuals. And think about, as we all know, higher gas prices, higher food prices, higher interest rates on mortgages. And that, of course, pulls some discretionary spending out of the economy. And of course, we started to get this fuzzy data, Dan. And really, the term that came back up again last week was stagflation, a stagnant economy while we're having inflation. That is, of course, is not good for the incumbent party, no matter who is sitting there. And of course, we're going to have to watch this. The economic conversation will be the number one conversation. People always vote their checkbook. And as we start to see higher inflation and slower economic news, that will put pressure on the current administration. Of course, you saw the CNN poll that came out, and that was evident.
Yeah. The CNN poll that Dave is talking about came out on Sunday and shows President Trump leading President Biden in a hypothetical head-to-head matchup by 6 points, 49% to 43. I say hypothetical because it's not actually going to be a head-to-head matchup. You've got three third-party candidates who all are at least taking at least 1% to 2% of the vote. Jill Stein, Cornel West, and then Bobby Kennedy Jr., who's taking upwards of 15% to 16% of the vote. In that scenario, with those other three candidates in the race, Trump leads nationally by 9 points over Biden. There was also separate polling that was released last week that shows, yet again, in keeping with pretty much all of the swing state polling that we've seen, Trump is leading or tied in every single swing state. In fact, by one measure that I've seen, if the election were to be held today, based on current polling, Trump would win the presidency with 312 electoral votes. Dave, I don't think I need to tell you that if we have a period of stagflation in an election year, where all of a sudden companies, because of a slowing economy, dramatically slowing economy, they're forced to lay off workers who are then forced to continue to pay high prices for pretty much everything just to survive, that would be the death knell of the Biden presidency. And I don't think it's going to matter how many times Donald Trump is convicted in New York, in federal court, in Georgia. It's looking unlikely, I think, that the Georgia prosecution is going to go on before the election. And it's still an open question, what with the Supreme Court intervening in the Trump January 6th federal prosecution. It's still an open question as to whether either of those trials go on either.
Right.
But even if Trump is convicted, let's just say in the New York case, it might not matter if things get as bad as some of the doomsayers. I saw Jamie Dimon saying, yes, I still am hoping for a soft landing, but stagflation is a real possibility. If that happens, just based on, you know, the Jimmy Carter effect, it's going to be pretty impossible for Biden to win the presidency. And oh, by the way, all of this is happening against the backdrop of Biden having the lowest approval rating at 38% of any president at this point in his first term in the history of modern polling. This goes back to Dwight Eisenhower.
Right.
Okay, so this is how, I mean, it certainly seems to be setting up for a Trump win. But again, we're sitting here 6 months before the election.
Boy, oh boy. Right? Yeah, I mean, there's so much there. I mean, you just said in that last minute, we could do an hour on that last minute. I mean, just talk about what was there. Of course, you look at the approval rating, a 39, 38, 39% approval rating. That, of course, if you go all the way back historically, that is a very low number. That's, as you pointed out, those are Jimmy Carter numbers. And so he's going to have to get his approval rating up to somewhere around 45%, and that would be a minimum. But as we well know, it is a long ways off, 6 to 7 months out. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen. There are people who say this is a choice election. No matter what, no matter about abortion or economics or immigration, they're saying it's a choice election between do we want more Donald Trump or do we want more of Joe Biden? And it's, you know, kind of mind-boggling. But, you know, RFK for sure is going to be part of that conversation. And where does he draw those votes from? And so we're looking at all of this economic data, that, as you just pointed out. And there's a lot to unwrap of what you just said. And, of course, a slowing economy because of higher interest rates, higher inflation, the misery index. That's something that we have to take a look at. The misery index is employment plus inflation. Those two numbers together, if you're in the mid-sevens, that, of course, as you said, is a death knell. It's still a 50-50 country, even despite all of these facts pointed in Trump's favor. It's a long ways to go.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we're not even 6 months removed from Election Day. That'll be on, what, May 5th? We'll finally be 6 months away, and an entire lifetime in politics happens in the last 6 months of a presidential election. The thing that gets me about this latest CNN poll, and as I always caution, especially with polls outside of, heck, a month or two.
And remember the pollsters, they couldn't have been more wrong over the last two presidential elections, right?
Well, that's not entirely true.
Well, in 2016, they had 92% chance that Hillary was going to win.
2016, they were totally off, and the state polls were still bad in 2020. For example, there was a Marquette Law School poll, I think maybe a month and a half before the election, that showed Trump losing by 15. Yeah. He lost by less than a percentage point, okay? Right. So 20,000 votes out of a million or so cast, 2 million cast. Now, the national polls, however, did get a lot better. They were actually reasonably close to Biden. I think won the national popular vote by something like 3%. I don't have the exact number ahead of me, but it was close. Okay. So while the state polls are still well off, one thing that has been consistent, Dave, that we've noted going back to 2016 is that consistently Trump underpolls, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even when Trump won in 2016, it was a Washington Post poll. My producer, Dave, tells me it wasn't a Marquette poll. It was a Washington Post poll. Dave probably remembers because we were making fun of it pretty consistently for a couple of weeks after it came out. That was the one that showed Trump down 15 in Wisconsin. We said these people clearly don't know Wisconsin because there's no way a presidential race is ever 15 points in this state. That's just how divided we are. But my point is that Trump has consistently underpulled by probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 points. And I do want to do this at some point for my radio show. I am going to do, okay, what do the polls suggest Trump is going to underpull by? For example, what were the final polls in all of the swing states in 2016? What were the final polls in all of the swing states in 2020 and nationally? And how much did Trump underpull? Because that'll give you a pretty good idea of where this race actually is. If Trump's underpulling by 3%, add 3% to his total, subtract 3% from Biden. So it's entirely possible that Trump has a bigger lead than we might suspect as of right now. However, the big X factor is going to be the Federal Reserve.
Right.
I think we pretty much are precluded from having that interest rate cut in June, right? With inflation continuing to be sticky as it is.
It is. It's sticky. And there's one, I mean, that is an X factor, but there's also Trump's legal problems. There's Arizona's abortion. There's RFK. There's a lot of things out there. Of course, will there be a debate? All of those will have a massive effect, but it's not the X factor because the Fed is going to signal early on, and they have done this for years and years and years. They're going to signal early on what they're going to do. So the market's going to have an opportunity to digest that. But this misery factor, that's part of it. I mean, you ask people, even if we think the economy is doing well, and some people think that it is because of low unemployment and high equity prices, they're going to say, well, how do I feel? And that is an important aspect. And if you ask people how they feel, they go, you know, I don't like paying higher prices at the grocery store. I don't like, and by the way, oil prices are going up. I don't want to go to the gas station and pay more. I don't like to pay higher interest rates on mortgages and my credit card. So all of that means I feel that the economy is not doing as well. And
right.
that is going to go into this conversation.
It is, but when you see the potential for interest rate cuts in September, just a couple of months before the election, I mean, that has the potential to really spur the nation's economy on. And if, as I suspect, there's going to be a concerted effort. I mean, I do not believe that Democrats are just going to lay back and say, okay, well, Trump is pummeling Biden in the polls. You and I have something of a friendly bet here going. You believe that Biden is going to be replaced, most likely at the convention. I say that would be the case if Kamala Harris wasn't even more unpopular than he is. They can't just throw her off yeah. without the risk of a black voter revolt.
And the reason why I said that, but the reason why I said that is if they go in and it looks like he's going to get walloped, if his approval rating remains at 35% and it becomes yeah. overwhelmingly evident that he's going to lose, I think the Democrats are pretty good at politics. I would think, I don't want to hope, I would think that they're going to make a move.
Yeah, no, I think it's entirely possible that they do. I don't see it as being likely yet because I don't think they're pushing that panic button quite yet. I think they're going to wait to see how the Trump prosecutions play out. Remember,
right.
this was always the strategy. As cynical as it is, and frankly, as dangerous to a constitutional republic as it is, to prosecute four different times for four cases that just all happen to go to trial in an election year.
Yeah.
And two of those cases are from a special prosecutor appointed by the president's attorney general 5 days after Trump announces that he's running for president again in 2024.
50% of Americans believe that's a political move.
Yeah.
50%.
Oh, yeah. And by definition, this is going to include independents as well as Republicans, right? And I think if you even Democrats, right, if you really press them, okay. Let's say, for the sake of arguments, that the Manhattan prosecution is totally on the up and up. Why was this not a prosecution until 2023? Why did they wait until the exact moment before the statute of limitations runs so that they could get their trial in the spring of an election year? Like, why wasn't this prosecuted in 2021, in 2022? And what about the January 6th prosecutions? I mean, this wasn't like there was new evidence that came to light in 2023. Pretty much everything that's being alleged is based off of evidence that was widely known, and I mean by widely known in the public in 2021. Right.
Yep.
We had hearings on this conveniently timed for the midterm elections of 2022. Why weren't charges filed after that? And the reason is pretty obvious, because they needed to have the trials take place in an election year so that people would see Donald Trump, the defendant, not Donald Trump, the president, who has a better record of actually stewardship of the nation's economy, leading America into a period of relative peace and stability. And this is all, look, Putin didn't invade Ukraine until Biden was in office.
Right. The whole world's a hot mess, not just
right.
there.
The whole, exactly. It's Biden. Do you realize this is a story that just sort of flew under the radar? Biden has set a record of the amount of United States embassies around the world that had to be evacuated. All right. I believe we're up to 9 or 10, something like that, at various points in his presidency, because things are so out of control. And you're seeing this in the poll that came out with CNN over the weekend. Far more people think Trump's presidency is a success, whereas 61% of Americans, is Democrats and Republicans, you can't get Americans 61% to agree on anything. But 61% agree that Biden's presidency has been a failure. This, more than anything, is what you should take away from this CNN poll. And what you should take away from this podcast, Dave, is that political forces and the Federal Reserve and macroeconomics and global economics impact your bottom line.
No doubt.
And that's why you can't just invest blindly on your own. You need someone working with and for you as a fee-only fiduciary to review your portfolio, help you know what you own and why you own it. You can get that. It's called Wealth Metric. It's absolutely free at annexwealth.com. For Dave Spano, President and CEO of Annex, I'm Dan O'Donnell. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Difference.
Annex Wealth Management, LLC is a registered investment advisor. For more information about our firm, please visit annexwealth.com. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and is subject to change without notice. Opinions expressed are those of the participants and don't necessarily reflect those of Annex Wealth Management, LLC, its producers, hosts, or guests. The host of the podcast is compensated for his endorsement of Annex Wealth Management. Information presented should not be construed as tax, legal, or investment advice, or a recommendation or solicitation for the sale of any product or strategy. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from qualified professionals to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Investments involve risks. Neither Annex Wealth Management, LLC, nor its podcast participants shall be liable for losses resulting from decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on this podcast.